chance to have a dream, to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and all of the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and share it with the people in their community. How are you doing this week? Welcome to August. It's good to be back with another show in the heat of summer. Boy, oh boy, it's been really, really nice out here on the West Coast. I've been enjoying it, and I've been off work for a while too. I'll tell you about that in a bit, but yeah, I haven't been working, so I've been out of the worst heat, which is the kitchen at the shop. Yeah, been enjoying the summertime. Today on the show, I have a really fun chat with some friends of mine, Brad LeBrance and Marie-Luce Denis, the co-owners of French 50 Bakery in Okotoks, Alberta. We've known each other for a while, but we finally got a chance to talk. They've just opened up a brand new location, so I figured it was a good time to get the lowdown on what they're doing out there in Okotoks. That's coming up in a couple of minutes. Before then, I should probably check in and make sure you're doing okay. How's the summer treating you? How's all your equipment running? Is your ice machine still working if you have an ice machine? You know, this time of year, boy, it can be stressful on equipment. So if you have a chance to take some time to, I don't know, clean a few filters, defrost things, that would be a good one. Take a look around and see if perhaps stuff should get moved to make it easier on the equipment. You know, the coffee shop where I work, it's an odd thing. It's very, very tight space, like very small. But the dish washing up sink is right beside the dishwasher, big commercial dishwasher, as it should be, which throws a lot of heat. And the only place that they can put an ice machine is right butted up against that dishwasher. And it's such a conflict there. They do the best they can, and they do very, very well in a really tight space. But sometimes I just cry when I think of how hard that ice machine's working just to keep the ice cold enough when you got hot steam coming in from the dishwasher sitting right beside it. So for those of you that are still working with graph paper and plotting out your next adventure, spread those two apart. Do it now, because it's going to be almost impossible to do it later. What else is happening? I mentioned a second ago that I've been off work for a bit. I'm healthy, don't worry. Our daughter Robin is visiting us from England. Yeah, she's been here for 10 days. She leaves on Thursday, which is why I'm still sounding happy and all of that. If I recorded this on Thursday, I would be crushed and barely willing to even get up in front of the mic. But she's been here, and we're getting caught up. I haven't seen her in almost a year in real life. And we're hitting all of her favorite spots in Victoria and going to an awful lot of beaches. That's the main thing, because it's when you live on an island, you got a few beaches. So we've been trying to go to all of them. So it's been fun. It's been a fun week. I just got off my first shift back at the shop in a while, just this morning. And it was nice to get back there too. Nice to get making something and standing and working for a bit. And earning some cash. I got nothing wrong with that. So yeah, but it's been a good week. It's been good to see her. It's difficult. You know, I think the world shifted pretty hard because of COVID and in the time since COVID. And when Robin moved out to the UK, it was sort of like, yeah, you're moving out to the UK. It's an adventure, but it's one of these global communities here. We'll find a seat sale. We'll hop on a plane once a year, and you'll hop on a plane once a year. And we'll see each other, and we've got FaceTime, and it'll be good, you know. And it won't be like you're living across the street, but it'll be okay. When COVID hit and we couldn't see each other, that was really hard. And then when, you know, she got COVID and we're 8 hours, 8 time zones away, that was really, really hard. And now just trying to be good parents from a distance is tough. I got to tell you, it's not an easy thing. And so since the worst of COVID, and you know, we're all pretending it's over. It's not over. Folks are still getting sick all the time. But now that travel's opened up again, the price has gone up that it's like, I just can't afford to go once a year, and she can't afford to come here once a year. And so we've cut that in half, which means we don't get to see each other very much. And I kind of think that's the way of the world. I think this, oh, I've got 2 weeks off, so I'm going to go to Australia from Canada is just not going to be in the cards for most folks. Not going to be in the cards for me, I don't think. It's going to be more like I'm going to get a visa and try and work there for a while to pay for a ticket home. It's kind of more how it's going to be. You know, that's sort of where we're at in the world right now. So it's weird to send your kids away and then have that change. That's all I'm saying. So yeah, it's been really great to see her and have her stay here. She's been here about 10 days. Have her staying here long enough that we can just relax and do nothing for a while and just sort of be in the same room as each other and maybe talk, you know, it's nice. It's nice. So for all you parents out there, if your kids are talking to you, make that happen for as long as it can. Okay. Well, what else is going on? I checked in the mailbox last week and the new issue of Breadlines, the magazine of the Bread Bakers Guild of America, was just wedged in there. And it's a thick beast, this one. What they've done is the guilds decided we're going to do double issues twice a year to try and save on production costs and printing and postage and stuff. So this is a big double issue. And it's a really good one. You know, I've got my beefs about how they do their covers these days and stuff and sort of the design. But you can't judge a magazine by its cover, because inside this new edition is just a lot of really good writing, really good articles. A few in particular are awesome. There's a whole section, the midsection is called Reflections on Rye. And a friend of the show, Jim Williams, has done an article for that from Backdoor Bread out in Vermont. And Sophie Williams from Bellingham, from Raven Breads, she did a zine. She did a hand-drawn zine talking about rye and fermentation and processes and stuff, and hand-drew this entire thing, multi-page, which they then took and photocopied or copied and published in hand-drawn form. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant, both as a visual thing and the information in it. It was just wicked good. There was also a very good article, which lines up with a lot of what we talk about here on the show, which is kind of like this move. How do you make the move from being a market baker to a brick and mortar bakery? And they did interviews with three different bakers, some of which have been on the show telling their story. And now it's down in writing about that transition from being a market baker to opening up your own place. And what's that like? And so I thought that was really good info. And sadly, or yeah, I guess sadly, there was a very long tribute to a former board member of the guild named Andy Clark, who is a gentleman I've never met and I didn't really know about until I started reading the page after page of tributes from people that I know and respect and what Andy meant to them. That was awfully nice as well. And more. This thing is like 80 pages now because it's a double issue and well worth it. You know, if you're a creator, if you like to create things and you like to share stories and you like to talk to people, sometimes this magazine can be a little intimidating. You know, I'm reading through it, which is so funny. I have this really real love affair with the guild and with Breadlines over 15 years now. And also it just brings out the absolute worst in me, because every time I read it, when we had the bakery, I would read it and it'd be like, oh God, all these guys are doing so much better than us. And their bread's looking better and their products are better and all of that. And now as Karen Bornarth and the team there and the membership are shifting the guild to be baking education and the business of baking and how do you actually build a brick and mortar location, for example, or how do you, you know, staff and that kind of stuff. The articles in there are spot on. They're really, really good. And I'm kind of like, oh, I should do that. Oh, I should have built something like that. But it's the power of community and it's the power of a group of people pulling it together. It's enough for me to just do this show. And I'm coming to terms with that. Every time I do an episode, I have 15 ideas of other things that we as a community should be doing, that I should be doing. And you know what? It feels good to know that there are folks out there also pushing this industry, this community, this spirit of baking and independent bakeries, and pushing that forward. You know, if you're not a member of the guild, and this is an unpaid plug, this is just between me and you. If you're not a member of the Bread Bakers Guild of America, you should really check it out. This this magazine and the classes they run and that kind of thing are very, very good. Can't say enough good things about them. Okay, on to the main talk here. This is a really fun one. So Brad LeBrance and Marie-Luce Denis, I've known them for about 2 years now. They own French 50 Bakery in Okotoks, Alberta. Both Brad and Marie have established careers, but they started making this shift about 5 years ago into baking and into serving just amazing food in their small town south of Calgary, Alberta. And they were doing it out of a rented space in a restaurant just when the restaurant wasn't open, that kind of a thing. And in the last year, they've made a big move, opening up their own space on their own plot of land just off the main street in Okotoks. And so we talk about all of that. Just from a timing thing, a little bit of context is I've talked to Brad and Marie a few times over Zoom, and Marie and her bakers, some of her main bakers have been on Bakers for Bakers roundtables, that kind of thing. But we never met face-to-face before until about 3 weeks ago because they were out in Victoria for a wedding and they sent me an email and said, hey, do you want to get together for coffee? And I said, absolutely. So met them one Sunday morning and I took them for a food tour. Went to all my favorite shops around downtown and showed them all these bakeries and took them to where I work. And we had breakfast and took them up to Working Culture to meet Adam and get some sourdough bread up there. And it was a lot of fun and got to spend a few hours with them. I'll tell you, you know, I've kind of debated why these podcasts are so long. Like the talks we have are usually around an hour long, you know, 45 minutes to an hour 15. But it takes longer than that to really get to know folks. And so my opportunity to spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours with Brad and Marie were so amazing. It was such a treat to get to spend time with them. Before we get into it, one more bonus just to set it up. They're one of their head bakers, Jeremy Rottier, he comes in halfway through and popped in and we sat down and he was part of the chat in the middle part as well. So that's who Jeremy is. Jeremy's another friend of the show. He's a supporter of the show. He's been on Bakers for Bakers. We've swapped emails before and I'd never met him. Never knew what he looked like until he got on the camera and the mic there as well. So it was a real treat. Here we are, Brad LeBrance, Marie-Luce Denis from French 50 Bakery in Okotoks, Alberta. So I'm so glad that that you're here because I can get the real scoop now on I've been beating my brains here about, you know, do we go back to front or front to back? And I think we're going to go back to front a bit because I want to hear what's going on right now at French 50, you know, and then we can talk maybe about how you got to this point. But tell me about the brand new space and everything that you're doing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's been, we actually celebrated our anniversary on the day, our fifth year, right? Fifth year anniversary on the day that we opened at the new bakery. Totally unplanned, but it happened on that day. And we're like, hey.
To the day, yeah.
To the day. It was when we, you know, first started this journey and we had moments. Oh my God, what have we have gotten ourselves into? And holding hands going, oh, this is going to be a roller coaster. And we're 6 weeks in now. And I think today was the first day that Brad and I kind of had a chit chat and the vibe was super chill and not rushed in the last 6 weeks. So yeah. It's been a roller coaster ride for sure.
So tell me a bit about the space though, and sort of what's the whole concept of what you're doing now.
We kind of knew that to develop the space that we're in, that we had to change a little bit to be able to support it. So we bought a house that was built in 1910. So it's one of the two founding sort of fathers of Okotoks. Their names are the Lynham brothers, and the other house on the street here with one of the brothers is an art gallery, and we are now the second Lynham house that's been converted into a business. So that's pretty cool. We're on a street called Elma Street in Okotoks, and it's a mixed commercial residential use. So it allowed us to purchase a property where we could actually live here as well as open a business. So the property itself kind of has a front and a back, two different buildings. They are attached, but just by one door. The back building we renovated to be our residence, and the front of house is the front of house. That's where the bakery is now.
Wow. So it's connected right up there.
So we sold the family house. You know, we had to pitch it to the boys to be like, hey, we found a really tiny house that we can move into. It's going to be great and amazing. And guess what? We get to do our bakery. You know, we're not renting, like the dream's coming true. And so we gave ourselves 10 days to sell the family house. The deal had to happen that way. And so we had 10 days for it to happen, and it happened.
It was really, a roll of the dice, because if we didn't sell our house within 2 weeks or 10 days, this wouldn't have happened.
Wow.
All these little dominoes that had to sort of fall in order for us to be able to do it. And in the end, it all happened. So it was meant to be, I think.
Huh. My gosh. Well, and so why? I guess why baking for you two? Because you both have successful careers and stuff. You're doing well. You've got the family and that. What got you into this? You know, for even to make the start in the rented place.
Well, before the rented place, we did farmers market, and it was really encouraged by our friends just to see what, you know, who was our community in the bread. In the bread world, we had no clue. We knew that, you know, 2 years prior, we would be traveling around the world, which, you know, wherever we went, there was always bread, and it was amazing bread.
Right.
It was always different, you know, from Morocco to Vietnam to France, like it's always delicious, but unique. And, you know, we'd come back home and we'd be going to our grocery store, and you know, we're like, we're gonna have Dave's killer bread because it tastes amazing. And then you read the ingredients and you're like, oh yeah, I do love it because it's, you know, whatever of those ingredients. So
yeah,
Brad started making it.
I actually started with pizza dough, and I think there was a pizza spot in downtown Calgary that we really liked that had a really great crust. And I know Marie tried to surprise me one day because I was trying to make pizza dough and I wasn't having a lot of success, and so she tried to book a chef from this pizza place to come and teach me, and that didn't work out. So she called them and said, will you guys share your recipe? And they went no. So there I was off to experimentation land, and just kept experimenting with that. But we came back from one particular trip to France that I remember, and My favorite thing to do was run off in the morning and get the baking for the group, and come back. And then I kept sort of lamenting, like, why can't we get bread like this? We just can't. And especially in Okotoks, there's a few artisan bakeries in Calgary, but there's not a ton.
Right.
And where we came, we originally are from Edmonton, and in Edmonton, there was a few French bakeries that we really loved. And when we came here, we didn't have that. So it was sort of a missing void in our life, and then it was just that evolution of going from pizza dough to bread, and then all of a sudden you get a good loaf and you're like, ooh, try this, and friend is trying it, and next thing you know, people are asking you for loaves, and that's kind of how it evolved.
Well it is kind of weird, like, and I agree with you, you know, for a city of over a million people like Calgary's got, it's like there, you'd think there'd be a lot more bakeries and a lot more decent bread bakeries and stuff in town. Like there are a few, but not anywhere for the number of people.
It's getting better and better, which is great, because now being in Victoria and getting the tour that we received, thank you very much, Mark. We seeing in the walking distance, the various types of bakeries, there's no competition. Everyone loves what they want. And then you can walk around and you might have your favorite bread from one place and the pastries from another. And so I'm just like,
and there's more than one of them lined up.
Yeah. And there's one lined up, and that's what we want.
Blew me away. But I think, you know, we've seen that before in places like Portland and, you know, other places, but Calgary is a little bit light. There's a few really, really good ones in Calgary, but there's not dozens. And so we recognize that, and especially our little town, which had this quaint little street and quaint little downtown, but it just seemed to be missing something. But when we opened in our first brick and mortar location, well, at the same month, we had a brewery open. And the brewery, we immediately became good friends with them and kind of shared the trials and tribulations of opening a new business. And next thing you know, we're making beer bread with their beer and they're selling it out of their brewery every Saturday. So we really found immediately that community was super important to us. And then all of a sudden, all these little vendors and suppliers and small local type of businesses came out of the woodwork. So we started selling preserves from a lady, for example, that makes her own preserves, and she's a Red Seal chef, and these jams and stuff are out of this world. And
or the honey, the beekeepers, yeah. The local beekeepers that work so hard every summer to get their, I mean, their stories are incredible, and they're part of our story, really.
Yeah. Well, then it's like, once it's so neat because when you travel and you see all the things that you see, but then you come home and you start doing it, then you start finding out, well, these are all the other folks that are doing their thing in your community. And I don't know, it's, well, I'm assuming that you met a lot of those folks once you say, okay, this is what I do. And then folks will come to you kind of a thing and say, well, here's what I do. Let's do something together. Eh?
All the time. And I think that's what we found, like, the most spectacular part of it is that there's so many joint ventures of little things, but it's, you know, planting the seed that this is how the community grows. So it's been a great, great journey in that.
Well, and our vendors, some of them, you know, we see them growing with us.
Oh yeah.
And not to say that we're their business, because we'd just be a small part of their business, but we see them sort of growing as we've grown. You know, there's a place in town called Devil's Head Coffee, and those guys supplied us with our first coffee bean. And, you know, we've seen him kind of grow and change locations, which is really cool. We still have his coffee here, and it's really super fun working with people like that.
Well, and what kind of a town is Okotoks? Like, I've been through, like, just on the highway through, but I don't know if I've stopped in maybe just one time. What's it like there? Who are the people in your neighborhood?
I would call Okotoks sort of that suburban, close to Calgary or close to, you know, municipal, a larger municipality. So it's sort of sleepy, right? It's what do they call that? A bedroom community, right?
Right.
So, and we notice that even now with our pizza nights, we go till 10 PM, but quite honestly, it's pretty much done at 9 PM, right? People are go to bed.
But it's also, you know, it's a family community. So of sports, lots of activities, it's a safe town. But I think, how many are we now in this town?
30,000, I think.
Okay. Oh, gee, yeah.
And it's growing. That's the big thing. It's really, really growing.
And it probably doubled after we moved here in 2005. And I think it's doubled since then.
Holy. Yeah. Well, I remember when I was a kid, it was like Black Diamond was always sort of the place that everybody was at. And then I had a buddy up in Carstairs on the north side. You know, north of town that had he had a coffee shop there for a while and that kind of thing. And it was, I remember the challenge that he had in Carstairs was that however many thousands of people lived there, not many came to the downtown, which is where his place was. It was sort of the traffic was set up to hit the highway into Calgary, you know, to get on the number two there. And that was, and sort of to get people to come downtown was a big deal for him. And it sounds like in talking with you in the past that you've got a bit of an old town center that's worth going to.
Well, we do. Absolutely. And it's been beautiful. And our first brick and mortar that we had just as a recent, we were on the main street. Okay. And when we started looking, we're like, we must be on the main street. And then this piece of property came up for sale and it's a secondary street. It's still a mixed use, but it's a secondary street. And it's a gamble to say, will people find you on a secondary street as a bakery?
Yeah.
How do you drive up the business and all that? But it was definitely, and it you know, people definitely need to drive on this street to find us. So it was a risk a little bit when we decided to buy it.
One, to paint the picture for you, the street is, it's not that wide. It's got sort of the old elms, like the really old elm trees all the way lining up the street. And there's some old homes on here. So it's got that character. But again, without a whole lot of parking, like we don't have any parking and we weren't required by the town to have parking. But that's definitely something that we were concerned about. And we've had a couple of customers this weekend just say, yeah, we had to park a block away. But we were pretty busy and that's why. But you know what? People aren't minding that because it's a great little...
It's a beautiful street to walk on.
Yeah.
We want to encourage people to walk to the bakery, really.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. So you did, you get the bug. You know, you're doing farmers markets and stuff. And then I think around the time that we met, it's, you had the place that you were renting and that was, you were, am I right? You were just doing it a couple of days a week kind of a thing, right? Selling out of that restaurant, eh?
Yeah. So we collab with the restaurant. They were closed during the hours that we wanted to be open. So it was a good collaboration at the time. And we just wanted to be open one day a week because yeah. Time and we, you know, we're like, oh, it's going to be the Brad and Marie show, and maybe sometimes the boys will work with us.
Yeah,
that's the very naive misconception that we had was that, you know, Marie will be up front talking with people. That's kind of what she's good at. And Brad will be in the back baking and maybe turning out the odd breakfast dish or pastry or whatever. And our son will be making coffees. And I think that lasted one open day, and then. That wasn't going to work very well.
Tell me more about the kinds of things that you're making now at the new place.
We've added many branches to what we started, but we've always said the bakery, the bread is the key and is the roots of the bakery and will always be. So obviously we've always had the sourdough bread, that, you know, the whole collection of that. We do a lot of sourdough pastries now as well. We try to incorporate some of the classics like Cannelli de Bordeaux, where Brad trialed for months and months, trying to finally, and then finally he got the recipe and we were celebrated and it was so frustrating.
that was the whole pastry game. Is we started out with, I think we had bread and we made a cruffet. Knew we couldn't probably make a very good croissant. We didn't have a laminator and it was all going to be rolled by hand. And then of course those sold really well. And I think I had to get a cortisone shot in the first 6 months of opening in my thumb just from rolling out cruffins. But, and then one day there was a show and shine on the main street and Marie said, oh, we're going to sell cinnamon buns. So next thing you know, we've got cinnamon buns and wow, now our pastry case is full. And we've got so many different things. We've sort of tried to keep a touch of the French flavor. Obviously, we've got the cannelle, as Marie said, and we just started making a financier. Okay. So those little tiny treats, you know, but we've got some, like, I'm personally a huge fan of chocolate chip cookies. So we have a really good chocolate chip cookie. And, but now, sort of in this new space, we've got all the equipment. Now we're making all our own, you know, croissants and pain au chocolat, but very typically French. There's not a lot of, we don't have cakes or pies or things like that. It's mostly bread or bread related or French pastries.
And you're doing sandwiches and stuff too, right?
We do sandwiches. We added the branch of breakfast, very specific breakfast. There's no deep fryer or things like that, but it, you know, we have 8 items on our breakfast menu, but they're delicious. They're fresh. So we added that at our original location. And then when we moved here, we said, well, if we have breakfast and bakery, we may as well add pizza night and get a whole, ensemble. So we started that as well. As we first opened, we started the branch of the pizza evening as well.
What's interesting, it's all these little things that you start are sort of the result of trying to make good use of either a piece of equipment. Or maybe you have, we did some macaroons last week because we had a lot of extra egg white. And so things like that. So we're always trying to find a way to you sort of maximize what we're making or with the equipment. So the bread oven, you know, it was expensive and we wanted to make sure it was getting a lot of use. So the whole pizza night idea came from trying to keep that oven working.
Yeah. What was the adventure like for you to fit out this new place? You know, like when you're working out of the restaurant, you're dealing with a lot of the gear that's already there and kind of adapting to it. When you've got the blank slate, what was that like for you?
I think there was, you know,
horror. No, it was hard.
It was hard just because, you know, we were adding a branch of, you know, a restaurant branch of really adding that line that is not our full expertise. So we were just really trying to manipulate and making sure that we were doing the right things. And how often did I stand in the space and like map things out in cardboard and stood there and brought people in? So what do you think of this? Or, you know, things like that, that were difficult, but thank goodness, you know, having an interior designer was immensely huge, helpful, because it gives you a true context of what the space looks like. And then you can readjust once you've moved in. We've shifted everything around in the back of the kitchen now.
Totally. Yeah.
To really feel that there's a good flow, but it took us about 5 weeks to even, we just actually added like the last shelving in the right spots, you know, today.
That was really important for us, is to have those experts. So hiring a designer with architectural experience was very, very important to us. And I remember even going back to a conversation we had with them is they kind of had an add-on package where you could 3D visualize what the space would look like. And Marie, being from that industry, was like, no, we can look on a blueprint, you see it. But as soon as it gets into that 3D, they did it anyway. So they're like, oh, you got to see it. Like, we're just going to do it. And as soon as we saw it, we're like, okay, you're right. This is beautiful. Like,
thank you. I can envision it.
Now we can see better. So that was super important. People that are contemplating doing this, the one thing I'll tell you is that whatever you budget, please budget a lot more.
Right.
Even if you think there's no way, because I remember saying, there's no way. There's no way it's going to cost more than this. And I think with everything going up and inflation and,
he would tell me, you have to shave things off. You're going to have to cut somewhere, Marie.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
It was hard.
Did you hit any issues by doing this in an old house?
Oh,
well, yeah. The conversion was the issue. And because it needed so much engineering and it was difficult, we found it very difficult because we were so unique and so little that engineering firms are just not accustomed to it. So we were first outfitted to, you know, run a Safeway.
Okay.
You need to come to the location. We have a hip roof and 100-year-old roof that has been cranked up and shifted.
It's not the regular size plenum space between the, you know, the ceiling and the outside roof. And one thing that we did was we vaulted the front area where the dining room is. And by putting that huge vault in, we knew we were opening up of the proverbial can of worms,
right,
with respect to what is going to be behind those walls. In fact, when we went to look at it, originally we saw this sawdust-like material in the ceiling and we were going, oh, this is going to be asbestos. So we had it tested. And luckily, this house is old enough that it wasn't. It was basically sawdust. But, you know, like there's not a piece of old Douglas fir timber in this place that isn't strapped with something new.
Okay.
And they had to, you know, hydraulically crank parts of the house to lift it 5-6 inches. And seeing that happen was quite something, because it had been a crooked floor.
Okay. To level it. But then did they have to reinforce it as well?
Yeah, they okay. did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For all the equipment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, right? Like have to get some steel in or something. Yeah.
Well, actually our friend who was our structural engineer built a wooden beam.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Incredible. It's beautiful how he did it. And, you know, it fits into the crawl space, you know?
Okay. Wow. And how big is the seating in that space, just for some scale?
Like 20 seats.
That's a good size. Yeah.
It's 20 seats inside, but then there's 32 outside.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we developed a really big patio space, and we've got the space to do it, which was really nice. But we're kind of scratching our heads right now for the next problem, which is to be, how do we figure out winter?
Yeah.
We don't lose all that seating, because a lot of times where every seat's full. So we kind of got to figure out how to do that. Uh-huh. And
Wait, Jeremy, come here.
Oh, our
head, hey, no, oh yeah, yeah.
You get to meet Jeremy.
Our head baker just walked in here.
Well, hi, Mark.
Hey, nice to meet you, buddy.
That was spontaneous, dropped in.
So. Yeah.
got the first ever pop in on the show. That's great.
There you go.
Like the little kid behind the newscaster. Yeah.
That's right.
Who let that kid in?
Oh, it's good to meet you finally.
Yeah, I like
it. Swapped emails and stuff and messages and that. So, yeah, no, that's great.
Awesome. Well, it's really cool. It's actually the perfect timing because Jeremy, I think, was our first, you know, official employee that...
He's our first adult.
Adult. Yeah, we had children working for us at the time, but he was our first adult that, like, approached us and said, hey, this is really cool what you guys are doing. Can I hang out? And he really creeped me out because Jeremy's like, you can see he's a giant. And you've met me. I'm like 3 foot tall. So he was at the back of the bakery just staring and shaking his head. And he was like in the moment, like was like, this is awesome. And then
yeah,
he's been with us ever since. And you know, he's our head baker. And...
Good for you. I totally get that. Like, I understand that feeling. I've been known to overstay my welcome staring in the back and bakery kitchens and stuff before too. So yeah, no, good for you. Good for you.
It was so interesting because someone had told me to go check out this bakery that was happening. And I grabbed my son, who was like 3 at the time, or maybe 2.5. I don't know how old he was. And then we just went in and went to go grab some bread. And I just remember walking in and yeah, I really had to just stand there and take it all in, you know, and it was just really cool to see something like that happening. And then I reached out because I was baking out of my house.
Right.
I was trying to figure out how I could scale up. And I reached out, didn't hear a thing because these guys were busy.
Yeah.
And then I saw they were hiring. And so then I said, okay, here's my chance. And then one thing led to another. And now I've actually put my home baking on pause.
Sure.
Here and yeah, it's just kind of become this thing. So.
Oh, right on. Oh, good for you. And that brings back some memories of in my own journey for sure. That sort of, you've got this idea in your head and then you go and you see a place like, oh, they're doing a little bit what's in my head there. Yeah. How can I be part of this? Oh, good for you. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And did you move south or are you living in Calgary or?
We live in Turner Valley, which is a small town about half an hour outside of Okotoks here.
Right on. So. Yeah. Oh, good on you. That's fantastic. This is actually serendipitous because I wanted to ask Brad Marie a bit about just, so like, what's it been like filling out the team and just like recruiting and stuff, both in the first phase, like just the fact of, hey, we're in this small town south of Calgary, we're banging out product like crazy, we would like some bakers and staff and stuff, please. Where do you find those folks? And then in this bigger place now, like it's must have grown as well. What's the staffing and recruiting and that been like for you?
It's been it's been a journey. We were 15 at the old location for 2 days a week business.
Wow.
Non-staff.
All part-time.
But Jeremy and Aaron, I think, you know, worked maybe close to 30, 35 hours a week at that time. And now we're at 36 employees.
Wow.
So we have a kitchen crew, we have a front of house crew, we have a mixing crew, we have a bake crew. Like, you know, it's scaled up significantly, but what I don't think we've lost yet is trying to hire people that share a passion for food and putting out good products. These guys come up with ideas all the time. In fact, when we were in BC for a wedding recently, Jeremy and another local guy that we collaborate from time to time were experimenting with the new ciabatta buns that we're making and making these fancy sandwiches and then texting them to us. And you could just kind of feel and hear that in there and or even read into the text how excited they were about these sandwiches. And
that's fantastic. Yeah.
And, you know, like that has been the biggest, I think, success for us is that we were able to translate the passion, the community, the working together, the learning skills. We hire lots of people that don't have, you know, that don't have experience.
Right.
And we hire people that do, but we're okay with teaching because, you know, we get a lot of young adults that are just entering the world and we want to share these skills so that when they walk away from this job or if they grow with us, because, you know, we have a head baker, we have a pastry department now, we have somebody head of restaurant, and we have a general manager because we had to grow so quickly that now we're saying to these young people that are either educated or not, but that have interest, saying, you could be part of that growth with us. And so it's been really amazing. The entire staff is, I'm not going to say staff, it's the team. It's truly, yeah.
Right on.
Jump in with one thing. I'll shout out our general manager because in many ways that is a true representation of this passion. She was a foodie and she was a customer, and she reached out and wanted to just like, she's like a sponge, you know, and it's been amazing to work with her and see her take on. And then she has all these skills, like business management skills that were in her back pocket. And then it just shows up. And now she's like, very clearly she was meant for that role, and it's been amazing to watch her probably at the, you know, we have to try to get her to not overstretch herself. I think we've seen that now she's starting to pull back a little more, but it's amazing. It's been really incredible for me, you know, to come in. I had like limited availability, you know, started with one day a week and then just kind of jumped up into this thing that's, yeah, it's been morphing into bigger, but you see that it's not just one person. It's been multiple people have, I keep saying the common denominator is a slightly obsessive nature. And it's like they just keep coming and they're obsessed. And then it's like, it leads to this environment. And again, well, it's a testament to Brad and Marie too, to their, I'm going to pump your guys' tires, so deal with it. But it's a testament to you guys really putting an emphasis on this family nature or family thing, the team aspect.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's my little,
but it's fascinating to watch because you're right, Jeremy. Like I see sometimes when, you know, we have something go wrong and we put our heads together and then we're all like digging so deep, trying to figure out what went wrong or what was the cause, or, and sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't agree.
Or sometimes we rescue, sometimes we don't.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, or yeah. Sometimes we make, well, actually I'll go back to Jeremy and I, we were mixing together, I think, and we oversalted the straight up sourdough loaf we have, the basic white, I guess you'd call it. And we're like, okay, we've double salted this. It's not rising. What are we going to, how do we, instead of throwing out this batch, which I think at the time was worth a couple $100 to us, I'm like, what can we do with this? And so we ended up making focaccia and it was brilliant. And
focaccia was born.
Yeah. And now I mean, yeah. It's in our restaurant now, right? We have to do a really cool burrata dish with burrata and, you know, chive oil and all and confit tomatoes. And it comes with some pan fried focaccia. And that is, it's huge. It's a hit. People love it. Yeah.
Born out of double salt.
Born out of a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to think that the folks that are coming into the shop can't help but see that atmosphere, you know, and you're going to get some, and some of the people are going to say, great, I just want to go eat now. And then every once in a while, you'll find somebody that's like, whoa, how can I be part of this? You know, I guess I just think that atmosphere of how you work together is either going to spiral everything. Everyone's going to spiral up, or you're all going to spiral down, right? One way or the other.
Yeah.
It's so neat to hear and to see you about these ideas of, you know, it's spiraling up and saying like, that's the best way to sell yourselves to new recruits. It's just how you guys are working today. Right.
You have to say we have, you know, when we said we were hiring children at first, which we were, you know, our two boys have been not only amazing, you know, team members to the bakery, but have also recruited very well key players that were like, no, you really want to hire this one. This one's, you know, they were already like, you know, recruiters at high school. They were doing fantastic. And we have team members that have been with us since high school and are now in, you know, fourth year university and graduating. And so it's exciting to see their own growth.
Even our kids, like our son, you know, when we opened up the new spot, he led the pizza team at night. So, and that, like, he has just stepped up to be a leader in that space. So that's super cool to watch. But what we're talking about, I think, at the end of the day, something that was always really important in my career is creating culture and creating good culture. And the problem with a big corporation, which is where I am no longer with as of about 3 weeks ago, is that you could only go so far in trying to create team culture, but ultimately you were still under the, not only the spontaneous culture of the organization you're with, which is just grows how it will grow, but also whatever their concept of what culture should be like. And so here, at least we've got the ability to sort of paint that canvas, which is cool.
Yeah. And I had the same experience when I was at SaskTel. Like you can do quite a bit within your own team and quite a bit, but there's boundaries, you know, and then if, you know, if, as you grow, you can maybe influence your department and away you go. But there's, I don't know, it gets tough as you get larger. And it just sounds so neat that you've got, you know, like a manager, and you've got head of this and head of that. That you, it's now, you know, there's five or six of you that are set, that are leading the culture.
Yeah,
it's not just Brad and I.
Yeah,
not just our boys. It's now we have, like you said, five or six, and then the rest of the crew also is understanding. And then there's the ones that are new that are like, "What are you guys talking about?
What is this weird place?"
Yeah. Oh, right. No, but I see it, you know, and I see it with even with where I work now. It's like there is, I think anything that really works, there's going to be a group of people that say you must be crazy to work there, and then there's other guys that say, yeah, you have to be, right? And but it's that thing that you can all that for that group of people, it all works and it all feels exactly right, you know. I'm curious, I've talked to so many folks that really struggle with, I'm going to call it letting go. I don't know if the root cause is letting go, but it certainly seems like very early on you've said, "Hey, we can only get so big if it's just the two of us calling every shot here." Was that like prior career stuff, or how did it become obvious to you that that's the way you had to do it?
Yeah, I totally get that question. For me, it's something I practiced throughout my career is resilience and trying to make sure I worked myself out of every job I've ever been in. So I've tried to manage, and when I manage people, I've always tried to manage that way. I think for Marie, it was, well, I don't want to speak for you, but I just see it was maybe a little bit of a different journey, but not that you were hands-on in many ways in the kitchen or anything, but you've got this sort of, Marie really is made for front of house and made for interacting with clients. She's such a great personality. Whereas I'm sort of a baker that want to hide in the back a little bit, you know?
Right.
He's pretty shy. We would travel and I'd be like, go into the bakery and be like, "Can we look?" And he'd be like, "Oh, don't ask." You know?
I just want to observe from the outside and look creepy like Jeremy.
That's right. That's right. Or like me, I'm exactly the same way. You know, I'll watch from a distance and that. Yeah.
But letting go, like I think, you know, and we've sort of, Marie did a bunch of business listening to audiobooks and things like that. And one of the things that we talked about is,
well, your recommendations, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It was right. All your recommendations. I've listened to them. I didn't understand them. And as our business was progressing, I was re-listening to them. Oh, now I get it. Oh, now that's what he was talking about.
Oh, wow.
So it was, and I'm like listening to them again because I don't want to miss out on. You think they're just small little details, but actually it's a key component to having a successful business. So as soon as I, you know, listened to all of them, because obviously I don't have time to read, we started applying, you know, the general rules And it's been great.
So it's just the understanding that you can't be the technician forever either if you want to grow. And that's where you have to be able to give up certain jobs that you even, and it wasn't always easy. Like, I think it's always been easy in my other career, but baking's different. And being in a kitchen is different. So, because there's art in there. And sometimes you don't want to give up the art, but sometimes when you do, you see the art that other people create and then you go, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, look at all of the art now that's coming out of this, this place, as opposed to just mine, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the same way, you know, our baker Tisha at Orange Boot, especially, and there were others too. I shouldn't just, or, you know, pretty much every baker we had eventually would say, like, you know, I'm really interested in this, or I, you know, Tisha's just amazing with chocolate and stuff, right? So it's like, all right, we're gonna get into chocolate. And at the end of the day, it didn't fit the production that we had, the capabilities that we had to like do a line of chocolate. But boy, she got to make some nice stuff at Christmas time. We were like, you know, like over the moon happy for it and stuff, and that kind of thing, and say like, all right, you know, but so you could find those opportunities for everybody to shine at whatever was the thing that got them going. And I find that to be a pile of fun too. You know, it's just fun.
It's so fun. Sometimes it's like we, you know, we do a shout out to everybody. It's like, let's do something fun. What, any ideas? And there's some great outcomes to, you know, some flavors that come out of it.
So cool. I don't want to just drill in on this. It's just, it's so weird just because, of some issues that we're dealing with. We're at the coffee shop where I'm at. We're at this point in time where we're dealing with an awful lot of turnover that kind of nobody saw it coming. and then it all hit. And it was like, oh, okay, now what are we going to do? Right. And I just go back to, it's like, wow, what's the mismatch? Like, you know, it always seems that if it's that spiraling up or spiraling down, right? It's like, if you get on that momentum going where you're attracting folks that you're clicking with and they're contributing and they're happy, it seems to attract more, you know, and it gets to spiral up.
We went, Jeremy and I and Bailey, another one of our bakers, we went to the Artisan Bake Show in Vegas.
Right, yeah.
It was smaller than we thought it was going to be. So it was more pizza orientated, but that's okay because we all love pizza. But we got to see Ken Forkish's keynote, and then got to meet him afterwards in Germany, kind of geeked out on that. But that was really fun. But, you know, he said one thing to me in there that kind of stuck with me, is that not everyone that is there now is going to stick around for the journey. And it's okay, right? It's okay for them and it's okay for you. And so that kind of stuck with me because I felt like that's true. Like the ones that have the deep passion and that kind of jump in or buy into the culture, those are the ones that are going to stick around. But not everyone will. So mm-hmm. it's okay if they don't.
Yeah. And even... Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you always do.
You know, like what we have now is so blissful. You know, like you have... amazing, amazing people, and they believe in it. And that's the beauty of it. They believe in it and they're passionate about it and they're engaged in it.
Well, and what's been really fun for me as working on the bake side is like, I went through a bit of a time where all I could do at the end of the day, like I really didn't have, I felt like I was just in a state of mind where all I wanted to do was just like come in and do the work. But I realized like, that's not sustainable in the long run. I mean, there was a lot of conversations with Brad and Marie about, you know, again, that the resiliency that, yes, I can make it about me where I just want to come in and do the work. And that's that thing, but I have to let go. And it's translated now into others in more management positions, taking that resiliency and, you know, just in the summer, we've seen someone like two young kids, like, you know, they're right out of high school. And one of them was working as a dishwasher. One of them reached out and said, I'm kind of interested. I've never done this before. And we put a finger on him and said, hey, we see you. We'd like you to try this. And then as they started to succeed, we really have been able to, like, again, encourage them and say, hey, you're going to invest in this time. And again, if you leave, that's okay. But we want you to invest in this and learn this skill because, and it's been amazing to see, like, just those two as an example of all these other things, really take that and run with it. And I think if, you know, I've learned this through working here and in my other work as well, that if you know, you give people that opportunity and you give them not just the opportunity to do some work, but also give them an opportunity to really thrive and succeed. And if they stay, they stay. And if they don't, they don't. You kind of have an open hand attitude with it, where like you can always, with an open hand, you can have stuff leave, but you can always receive more.
Right.
And I see it that way with people. And it's been incredible to see that happen, that as we kind of we're not trying to hold on to people. We let them go because mm-hmm. we know that other people will.
Or they come back.
Or they come back. Like, that's also been amazing. Yeah.
Summer students are like, I don't want to look for another job. I want to come right back here next summer. You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
that's what we love to hear.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, and yeah. Well, then it certainly makes the case for why you need to solve your patio problem by winter, because you know, you got to keep you got to hold on to everybody as well, right? So you told me about the. Sort of the brewery that you used to partner with and the coffee shop and that kind of thing. I'm curious what you see for the town here. Like you've already hit sort of three things that for a guy like me, I'm like, okay, I need to go visit Okotoks and see all of this. It seems to me that it must be a fun place for folks in Okotoks now with places like yours and with the other stuff that's going on there.
We get lots of people that come up to us and they're so thankful that we've opened this place, because we didn't have anything like
that. But we had limited amount of little patio spaces, of little cafes. You know, there's a handful. There's maybe three or four of us, you know?
Right.
So it was, now ours is a little bit bigger and there's a little bit more, you know, more of a restaurant type of serving. But it's very limited on how much, you know, cafe space there is in town.
Sure, yeah.
But not just cafe, just restaurant space in general. Most of it, either a box restaurants or other small mom and pops. But at the end of the day, I think what I am hopeful that and believe that the town has done right is they have a street like Elma Street where you can live and work and with that mixed commercial residential use. And I think us being here is going, and I'm hoping we help spark the next business that comes here.
Yeah.
There's a tea shop going to be opening up a few doors down.
Super excited.
There, like when we moved in, there was a tailor that opened up across the street. And there's been a few more things kind of moving and shaking. So that, and if you can get a street like this, I would love to see another restaurant. I would love to see, another even coffee shop. And none of that bothers me, because I think everyone's got their own unique flavor and brand. And, you know, I think the more the merrier.
Yeah. Well, cause you saw it out here, right? It's like it seems to me that in Victoria anyways, for an awful lot of people, having somewhere to go on Saturday or having somewhere to go sit and have something to eat and a coffee and a visit is really important to people, right? And so when you get that that culture in the town of, hey, there's this really great place, Brad and Marie's place has got, it's a good place to sit. We're going to have some excellent food. We're going to have a good visit. You know, that can build momentum for the town as well.
Yeah. And it's unique, right? Yeah, I think, you know, like we still speak French with our kids and, you know, whether we get French customers that come in. So if you come here at French 50 Bakery, you're going to sit down beside someone and you might hear some French. And then you start getting those feelings like, oh, this is like that pain au chocolat I had with an espresso in Paris. And that's the reminders of something that are, you know, a really cool experience elsewhere.
Yeah. And once you tap into those memories, or that subconscious, well, then you're set. Like that's so powerful. You know, it really is. Huh. So cool. So cool.
I'm going to have to go. My wife is waiting for me. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, it's nice to see you, Jeremy. Thanks, man.
She's hot. It's really hot out there.
Yeah, it's like 32
degrees. You
want to
hear something else cool, Mark? I don't even know. We need to actually do a head count. How many siblings, husband and wife team work with us? It's risky as a business, but we've also had people like, you know, one guy leaves, but you know, the girlfriend stays or whatever. So it's been interesting. We've been open to it. We haven't had to shift because there's been a major issue. So I think until then, but it's been really fun. Like there's siblings and cousins and
super cool. It's humans. I'm telling you, they're complicated. It's
like, they are. You know what? Growth is complicated. So when we went from the old building to this building and doubled our hours and more than doubled our hours and times, we've seen little things with, you know, with relationships and adjusting. But I think there's a chaos that occurs when you open a new business. You still haven't figured things out. The logistics of the kitchen and the mixing room are all different. And so you get through all those things and it gets better. So as long as we can stay humble and kind of realize that we're all human and a lot of the time we're in it together, then we know we'll have issues down the road, but as long as they're not major.
Even major.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's just like you're, I don't know if you have the culture that we can talk about this, like we can talk about when there's problems, or we can talk about when it's not feeling right, then you're more than halfway there, right? Like it's like I was just talking to Tabita in Winnipeg there, and they very intentionally talk about how they're going to do problem solving and stuff. It's a very big deal, and you know, developed over decades at that bakery and stuff as well, right? But she spoke so much, and it still resonates with me just how much she talked about how we're going to solve problems, how we're going to bring up problems and that kind of thing. And they really pay a lot of attention to that, and I think it pays off. So
there's not one person at this bakery that will take a problem and give it to someone else. That's just not how we operate. We all try to figure out stuff together. And that really goes back to that whole idea of team. And when you're playing on a team, everyone's got an individual job, but you know, we've all got to try and get the win at the end of the day. I think we're, you know, we foster that. We try to, and it's good. We love our staff, and they're such a key to our success. And I don't think as a business owner, you can ever forget that.
Yeah. Right on. Right on. So what did I miss? I've taken you all over the place here, but what what were you hoping we talk about?
Oh my God. I look forward to the round table again. We just did that one time with you and Aaron, and but Aaron really enjoyed it, and I think Jeremy wanted to join. So I think we're definitely looking to do that again. And no, I think we went through almost everything.
Well, I would say this. Just a thank you from us.
Oh, so much.
You've actually been a key to our business success just by running the podcast.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
You know, we listen to this often. Marie, more religiously than I, but I think you cover such a wide gambit of topics and things that, but I don't know how many businesses out there have a podcast and then go to sort of learn about their own business. So,
oh, cool. Well, thanks.
Because we're all in it together in this community.
Yeah, and it's Bakers for Bakers. Like, it's so important, and I see more and more. So it resonates with us. And like, anybody that starts with us, it's like, do you listen to podcasts? And they're like, yeah, you need to listen to Rise Up. Pick three episodes. We don't care which one. it's part of the hiring manual.
It's part of the... Jeez, Louise. Well, thanks. No, I appreciate that, because I think you're right from the, certainly from the perspective of like every bakery owner goes through something. And if you talk to enough of them, there's been someone else that's gone through something similar enough that you can take something and grab onto it, you know. And that's actually makes me feel really, really good to hear you say that there's been some that you've been able to grab onto. That sounds like then this thing's going well. it's like, cause I always get a lot out of it, but I sure hope other folks do.
We're like, again, don't want to be super, super sappy, but like Aaron wrote down one of your quotes. I don't know where it went in the move, but it was up on the quotes. I can't remember.
It was on the wall.
I think I sent you the photo.
You did. Yeah, I know. I remember. Yeah.
I'm big fans here, Mark.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. No, well, and you got a big fan here too. Like I really appreciate talking with you. It was great to meet you a couple of weeks ago as well, and spend some time together. And I just, I'm just super excited for what you're doing. I admire you too, because when we first met like a year or two ago, and you were just baking a couple of days a week, and you were talking about like your big dreams and what you were trying to do and that, and I'm like that's awesome, and it's all like I'm cheering for you, also knowing that it's like I can't do what you're doing, and it's so neat to hear your story and see it working and hear about it working. And like, and I know there's always bumps in the road and that kind of thing, but it's like, you're really going for it. And I'm super happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. What a treat. That was so nice. What a world we live in where I get to meet folks like Brad and Marie and Jeremy, and he comes and sits down, and it's like you're greeting an old friend, even though you've only known each other via emails. And I can't get enough out of what they're doing there. I still can't get my head around it. And I'm, you know, it's one of those things that are mysteries to me, but I'm slowly learning through the people that I talk to, is how in a small town of 30,000, not only can you build out your own place and start making incredible food, because they have very good taste and they're making very tasty things and doing a really good job with the products. But then you take Marie's marketing and promotion and all of that sort of flair and put that in it and say, oh no, we're gonna do high-end sandwiches and all of this other stuff. And then say, oh, okay, not only that, we're gonna do it. And the people in this small town, this bedroom community south of Calgary, are going to embrace it and join up to the point that they can have 35 people on staff and just knocking it out of the park 4 days a week at the shop. I just think it's amazing. Like every single thing that I mentioned there, I think is amazing. You know, where do you find that many people? How do you get folks like Jeremy and Aaron, who wasn't on the mics but has been on Bakers for Bakers calls, and you can hear her energy as well, get them bought into what you're doing and saying, now it's not two of us pushing this thing forward. It's four of us. It's six of us. It's 10 of us. So we're all pushing this thing forward. And when you do that, when you can create that, the thing that you build is just so amazing. I mentioned in the intro, I have this bad habit. I tend to try and do every single thing myself. And that doesn't scale. That limits the impact that you can have. The joy that you can bring to the world if you keep everything to yourself. And so I've learned a lot from Brad Marie. I hope to learn more, and I hope to put into practice some of the things that I've learned. I hope you got something out of this call. I hope you got 10 things out of this conversation. I really do. And I hope you act on two of them this week. How's that for a challenge? Okay, let's wrap this up. Until next week, when I'm back with another conversation with another bakery owner who is wildly different in her business and the things that she's trying to do than what Brad and Marie are doing. But you're going to get 10 things from that talk as well, I'm sure of it. We'll see you next week. Have a great week. Work hard, bake lots, stay safe, stay healthy. Happy baking. Bye-bye.